lot of it initially is grief and mourning, because you're grief and mourning the person that you love. They never existed. You just created this person that you love. It's really difficult. And this is why they're so good at what they do. We're not just talking about romantic relationships. We're talking about work relationships. We're talking about parental relationships. We're talking about friendships. But what a narcissist will do is do everything they can do to protect the fact that they're lovely. And they will gently, gently, gently eat away at you, making you lose your identity in order to fit in to what they want and how they want it.
No good.
Because we're not stupid and they're not stupid. We're not drawn into people we don't like.
Right.
We're drawn into people that we like. That's their opening gambit. Beware of what you're about to do. A narcissist scorned is a tricky, tricky job. Make sure you look that you've got another job coming up.
Yeah.
Make sure you're in a financial position to leave the household. But once you stand up to the narcissist, that's when they project. You then become the problem. They will never change. They will never self-reflect. They will never admit that they're sorry and take responsibility. They don't initially meet you and go, right, you, come here. I'm going to use you for my food supply. But that's exactly what you are. You are their food supply. You are. They don't know that you now know. You feed them on your terms. And then you treat yourself. And I want to tell you something. They live in a world that's different to ours. Don't join them in their world.
Oh, I like that.
Don't respond to their world, etc. And it saddens me hugely, Chuck. It really does, that so many men and women, but I deal with men, so many men are petrified of leaving that because of what other people will think, what society will think, what religion will think, what their parents might say, what it might do to the children. And they fall into that people-pleasing thing again. They'll sacrifice their own lives in order to protect everyone around them. Yeah! Sat down with an old friend,
talked the things gone past. Welcome to Why Daddy Never Cries podcast with your host, Chuck Kelleher. At Why Daddy Never Cries, we'll explore the lives surrounding daddies, their children, divorce, and silent domestic violence. We'll hear real-life horror stories from unsung heroes fighting for the ability to stay in their children's lives. We'll get those voices heard and hopefully find solutions before you lunatics burn the whole place to the ground. Hang in there, daddies. Chuck's here.
Chuck Kelleher and Why Daddy Never Cries are providing this podcast as a public service. I've known Chuck for 45 years, and he's neither a lawyer nor a mental health professional. He's not a doctor nor a rogue scholar by any stretch of the imagination. Chuck is simply a guy who's lived in hell for 20 years. Once he found a way out, he drew a map to help others navigate their own way home. The views and opinions expressed by Why Daddy Never Cries, employees, or our guests are their own. Guest appearance on the program do not imply an endorsement of them, their opinions, or any entity they represent. And please, for the love of God, if you have any questions or fears about your unique circumstances, please contact a lawyer, a religious leader of your choice, or a medical professional in your area. Don't fuck this up, brothers, because we're all in this together.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Voss G2, for helping small and medium-sized businesses elevate their brand perception with design. Take your brand to the next level at VossG2.com. We'd also like to thank Harry Duran and his team at Fullcast for their amazing assistance. If you're planning a podcast and you haven't contacted Fullcast, you might as well call your show Podfade.
All right, here's the scenario. You meet somebody. They are amazing. They're everything you ever dreamed of, and they love you to death, and they're not afraid to show it. Next thing you know, you're jumping through every hoop under the sun and still not getting anywhere. We're going to talk about narcissism today, and yes, a very, very overused term these days. However, John is going to walk us through some layman's terms and ways to spot these narcissists, and ways you can actually survive living with a narcissist if your situation doesn't allow you to leave. And yes, there are situations, cultures, religions, where people will endure decades of pain and suffering strictly for the sake of the children, strictly for the sake of the religion, strictly for the sake of appearances based on a culture. And that's the individual choice. But you don't have to lose yourself for this. And John's going to help us with that today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome today John Chitty, the host of Chitty Chats.
Yeah, Chitty Chats is just a group of like-minded men who've all been in abusive relationships, and they gradually kind of drew together. Every Wednesday evening, United Kingdom, we have anything from 8 to 15 men who just come and share for 2 hours. Every other week, I'll give a little bit of a sort of talk about abuse and about narcissism, and that will bring up reactions in them. But otherwise, it's just men coming together and sharing it. It's absolutely heartwarming.
But it's not just the UK, John, is it?
No. So when I'd gone through this sort of relationship, first came across a group. That group was quite a small group to start with. And then we suddenly realized that there were people through things like Instagram and TikTok, et cetera, that were struggling with this across the world. We have probably England, Ireland, Wales, Scotland. We also have America, New Zealand, one in Gibraltar. It's spreading to lots of different men because they recognize the stories. They recognize what's going on. And it's almost as if you've all got exactly the same story, just with different slightly colors. That's all it is.
It's very much that way, which is unfortunate. But it's a great way that we can point this out to the world and hopefully end this for the next generation.
Yeah.
What is a narcissist? The word is used so frequently now that I think everybody and their mother's a narcissist or father.
I love that. I really do. And my guru for narcissism and being able to recover from a narcissistic relationship is Dr. Ramani Devasula. She's phenomenal. She's extremely intelligent, but is able to put it across in a fantastically plain and simple way for everyone to understand. She's just written a book called It's Not You. And in presence of knowing what you're going to ask this question, I'm actually going to quote her, because I think it's easier if I were to quote someone who is just the guru in the world on this rather than me try and interpret it, though I will interpret it later on. Narcissism is an interpersonality, maladaptive personality style that encompasses a wide spectrum of traits and behavior patterns that present in different ways from mild to severe, vulnerable to malignant. What separates a narcissist person from someone who is self-censored or vain or entitled is the consistency and sheer number of these traits in one person.
Oh, interesting.
Just being superficial doesn't mean someone is a narcissist, okay? I like the way that she says that. She just goes on to say, it is also looking at the function of these traits, which is to protect the narcissistic person. Narcissism is about a deep insecurity and fragility offset by maneuvers like dominion, manipulation, gaslighting, which allow the narcissistic person to stay in control. The varial empathy or complete lack of self-awareness means that they do not stop to consider the harm their behavior is creating for other people.
Having gone through this, you've gone through this, I've gone through this. Put it in layman's terms, because even the most intelligent person out there going through this has no idea what's going on around them.
Now I've got Ramani out of the way, and I absolutely adore her. A narcissist is someone with no empathy who thinks for themselves to be right and will either draw people in to feed off them or shoot people out and be a vulnerable person. And there is no exception. There is absolutely no exception. A narcissist is someone who sees everybody else as an extension of themselves. They are there for their benefit. They're not individuals. They have no concept of what might happen to these individuals, and they have absolutely no empathy. And they go about their lives sucking dry the people around them until they're challenged. Then they flip this onto the other person and go around their lives making themselves be the vulnerable victim and this other person to be the perpetrator. And when that's all done, they move on to the next one.
And this is what I love about the Chitty Chats, ladies and gentlemen. He breaks it down so it's simple that anybody can understand it, no matter what stress you're going through. John, how do we spot a narcissist?
Really difficult. And this is why they're so good at what they do. We're not just talking about romantic relationships. We're talking about work relationships. We're talking about parental relationships. We're talking about friendships. But what a narcissist will do is do everything they can do to protect the fact that they're lovely. And they will gently, gently, gently eat away at you, making you lose your identity in order to fit in to what they want and how they want it.
No good.
Quite an obvious way to spot a narcissist is that they will absolutely love bomb you, whether it be at work, whether it be in friendships, more so in a romantic relationship. They will love bomb you to start with. They will make you think that they are just charming, wonderful, fantastic, because we're not stupid and they're not stupid. We're not drawn into people we don't like.
Right.
We're drawn into people that we like. That's their opening gambit. That's their opening gambit. Obviously, there's something different when it's a parent to a child. You have no choice about that. And that's obviously one of the most dangerous ones. But if we're talking about adult relationships, they absolutely love bomb you to start.
Having been there in different scenarios, what's the fine line? I mean, you meet somebody, you fall in love, they love you or they're showing you love.
Yeah.
Is there? Do you think there's anything that a person can do to red flag it?
In those first few weeks and months, it is really, really difficult. All I would say is that if someone is love bombing you and you're love bombing them because you've just happily fallen in love and it's the kind of honeymoon period, then, you know, just be aware that it's the honeymoon period. Don't throw all your eggs into one basket. You know, don't suddenly move in after 3 months. You know, don't buy the house together.
Right.
All of these things just don't do. That's common sense, whether someone's just a lovely person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, or whether someone's a narcissist. That's common sense. Difficult to do. It's common sense. That's all I would say. I mean, there are other people who say things like, oh, if you're a single mother with children or a man. There are lots of lovely single women with children out there that are looking for a partner.
I was a single man with children. You're a single man with children. Yeah.
Exactly. Give it time. Give it time, because narcissists are also avoidance, and avoidance will do this. They'll get to a certain point and then they'll retreat back. So just give it time.
I've heard it's something called the three S's of narcissism. Is that something you're familiar with?
It's not something I'm familiar with. I've read it.
Sorry, I apologize.
No, that's absolutely fine. And I tell you, it's worth actually just putting me in context. I trained as a therapist when I was very, very young, and I spent 20 or 30 years in education and senior education. And then because of my own personal circumstances, I retired early and then got into a relationship that was hugely narcissistic, and I was very vulnerable to it.
Gotcha.
And it's probably only reflecting on my 20-odd year marriage and this narcissistic relationship that I've now majored in all the therapy that I do is with narcissistic.
Oh, okay.
Which is men who have recovered from narcissistic relationships. Okay, so I want to say right from the beginning, okay, there are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of wonderful women out there. There are lots and lots and lots of wonderful men out there. There are a huge, probably majority of women who have been abused by men. I support that. I want to support them, love them, put every rule there can be and every support legally there can be in for them. But there is a sliver of women who abuse men from a narcissistic perspective that the legal system, the police system, the world, the government ignore. And it's that section that I now major in when we think that, you know, United Kingdom, 9 men a day kill themselves. In a certain part of the United Kingdom, the Northeast, 16 men a day kill themselves. It's not heard of. It's not front page news. And politically, quite rightly, because we're supporting women in vulnerable situations, we've forgotten that actually men can be in these vulnerable situations. So that's where I'm at now. That's the work that I do.
I'm speaking with friends of mine up at the International Family Alliance up in Canada. I don't think it's necessarily, and we've both said this because we've all kind of grown up on this. So I'm going to catch you on something.
Perfect.
You said a large amount of women are abused by men and a sliver of women are abusing men. It's almost 50-50 out there now.
Yeah, 53-47 that report said. I read it.
Oh, wow.
I guess that's me just trying to ensure that anybody who listens to this is not thinking, oh, here's a sexist, male chauvinistic man. No, not at all.
Understood.
I totally understand that if a woman is vulnerable to an abusive man, the immediate dangers in that are huge. For a man susceptible to abusive women, it tends to suck out over a longer period of time because the physicality is not normally there.
Right.
It's not going to be a sudden death. Of course, it's as dangerous. That's all I'm saying.
They slowly poison you.
And it is. I totally agree. And I think that 53-47 is probably far, far, far more accurate.
John, the three S's of narcissism, sex, supply, and services. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah. To me, it's a shallow one and it's a soundbite type of understanding, but sex, supply, and services. We talked about the love bombing, didn't we? I'm talking from the female being the narcissist, okay? Because that's the amount of work I do. There is that love bombing. There is that desire that you provide for this woman with sex. There's no emotion involved in it. There's no empathy involved in it. It's just that is where you meet. That is how you're attracted. That is what you get into. And that is your responsibility. Supply, I think, is the main one. We all use, those of us who are involved in researching and understanding and dealing with patients in this. This is so difficult because you've fallen in love with this person, because you have a sexual relationship with this person. You don't really want to see yourself as just an extension of this person. You don't want to see yourself as just their food supply, but that's exactly what you are. You are their food supply. You are their supply to ensure that they feel great because deep down, deep down, deep down, deep down, they have a vulnerability. And the way they deal with that vulnerability is to use other people to make themselves feel good. So you are simply their supply. Your supply for their morals, your supply for their actions, your supply financially, your supply when you go out on their arm and they go out on your arm. You are supply for parenting. You are supply for keeping the house regulated. You are supply for everything that they think makes their world accurate.
Wow.
You are supply to make sure they feel good about themselves. That is it. And that moves on to the serve. That's your job. You're not an individual. You are simply there to serve them. Give you an example. I work with a guy who he won't mind saying he's a big lad.
Okay.
Okay. He's a gym lad. He's mixed heritage lad. He's huge. And his ex is kind of 5'2" white. And our first session, he said, I really struggled. You know, I knew I should be more in control, but I couldn't. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, we were on the high street. She drove up in the car. She opened the car door. And she said, get in. And he got in. And I said, you did what? I said, you're 6'4" wide and she's teeny, but you just like a lap dog got in. She had so got him into the place where he was there to serve her, where he was purely the supply, that he, even though deep down in you, hang on, there's something wrong here, He did exactly what she said because he didn't want the fallout, the consequences of what would happen if he didn't.
Wow.
He lost his identity and became purely the supply and the serve.
Let me guess, was he on a non-mall when she told him to get in the car?
That would be fast. That would be telling you far too much.
Fair enough. Arnold, you guys on non-malls over there? Holy cow, that's an order of protection over here if anyone hasn't listened to an earlier show.
Well, if you want to go down the non-mall route, this is one of the holes, the huge holes in the system. The system was set up to protect women so that women could go to the police, they could go to the court system, and they could say, I feel in danger. Yeah, this man makes me feel scared. I fear he's going to hit me. I fear that he's going to do something with the children. He stands over me. Well, he's 2 foot taller. I need your protection. A protection order, non-molestation order, is put in place. At no point does anyone say, is this woman telling the truth? Because we are in a political environment, and I understand why we've got there, where we need to protect vulnerable women.
Sure.
But in protecting vulnerable women, if that woman actually isn't vulnerable, if that woman is narcissistic and that man has stood up to her and said, I don't want any more of this, they shift from them being the food supply to destroying them. They shift from being, I'm the victim, therefore, so I'm going to get everyone around me to show that I'm the victim. You then put on that court order. If that man then receives the court order, goes round to his own family house, which now he's not allowed in, he's not allowed to see his children, not allowed to go to the house, he's still paying the mortgage, he's suddenly got to find child maintenance, he's suddenly got to find somewhere to live because she's lied to a judge. If he goes round the house, which is perfectly acceptable, and goes, what are you doing? He's arrested by the police and can spend up to 6 years in prison. That is not a court system that is of equality to help men and women who are being abused, especially if you go back to that report that says it's 5743.
Right. There's a law out there that says we can't steal. Now, you go into a bodega, a shop, and you take something, and the shop owner calls the police on you. And when the police get there, you say, no, I walked in with this. He's trying to steal it from me, and they arrest the shop owner.
That's exactly what happens. If the police were to walk into a murder scene, and there were two people there, and one person said, I didn't do it. And the other person says, I didn't do it. He did. I just feel so scared of him. And they arrest him. They don't do any further investigation. They don't do any due diligence on the woman who says, I feel scared. He did it. That's it. No facts, no evidence. And the man goes to prison. Everyone will be up in arms if that's how we dealt with murder cases. They'd be like, this is ridiculous. It'll be chucked out of court before you could even blink. And yet these guys can go to all sorts of courts, including Crown Court, and can do time in prison just because it's how she felt, with no evidence whatsoever.
Again, everywhere, someone's telling you about narcissism, and they say, questions to identify a narcissist. And one of the questions was, how often do you try to make up for your low self-esteem by lying? Who the hell's going to answer that question? I mean, how is that going to work to spot a narcissist?
Well, I'll tell you how the narcissist answers it. I don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
And what they'll also do is tell you that you're the liar. What they're brilliant at is projecting. So after a period of time with gaslighting, with manipulation, with emotional kind of blackmail, certainly with physical blackmail, they make you think that it's your fault.
Mm.
You find yourself apologizing for something after a few years of a relationship. And in the back of your mind, you think, why am I saying sorry? Why on earth am I saying sorry for this?
Yeah.
You know, and it is always your fault. And I think that the further down that question is, do you ever spot your partner self-reflecting and changing?
Mm.
If the answer is never, you're with a narcissist.
Oh, that's really good.
They are incapable of self-reflecting. They are incapable of taking responsibility, and they are incapable of changing. And that's not just me. I go back to Dr. Romana Di Vasola, and she's the one that pushed me on this, actually, because I thought, well, surely everyone's capable of changing. And she said that we'll never, ever, 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 ever change, because the depth of their pain and lack of self-worth that they're covering is so raw, is so horrific, that they've learned over the years to cover it and cover it and cover it. You know, you need a jackhammer and a drill and God knows what to get through there. And life and relationships aren't going to do that. They will never change. They will never self-reflect. They will never admit that they're sorry and take responsibility, ever.
Yeah, I can empathize. I don't know if I actually used the word. I don't know if I knew the word narcissist back then. But I read that the worst thing to tell a narcissist is that they are a narcissist, even if you're correct.
Yeah, even as a therapist.
Really?
If you're working with a narcissist, the worst thing to do is say that they're a narcissist. In fact, even as a therapist, when you're working with someone who's a victim of a narcissist, the worst thing initially to say is you're a victim of a narcissist. It's to let the victim work through just how much they've been abused, just how much they've lost their identity, just how much they have lost completely who they are and their life has been transformed. And once they get into that process, you can then introduce what a narcissist is. Because you see, a narcissist, just like all of us, we've all got a little bit of narcissism in us. You and I now are acting on our narcissism. You've got your radio show. You know, I'm a guest.
Fair enough.
We all need that little bit of narcissism to fight and to win and to value ourselves. But when we do it to hurt others in order to value ourselves, then we're on the wrong road of narcissism. Then the spectrum of narcissism has got up to kind of quarter and half full. And the vast majority of people that we deal with in relationships are kind of midterm narcissists. You know, they don't have narcissistic personality disorder. I mean, that's off the Richter scale. They are midterm narcissists.
Well, are there levels of narcissism?
Absolutely. There are spectrums of narcissism. And we all need to be on the spectrum somewhere at certain times in our lives. If you're in a football match with, you know, one kick to go and 10 seconds on the clock, and you haven't got that bit of narcissism as you're about to take the kick, you might as well not bother. You know, we've all got that little bit of narcissism in us. If you're in a relationship and you want to just stand up for yourself, actors are brilliant at narcissism. You know, they know they want the applause and they struggle sometimes weeks after the show sort of thing. That's okay. That's just normal, self-reflective, self-evaluating, self-motivating narcissism.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that whatsoever, because you're not causing anybody any harm.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah, you're not using anybody else to benefit yourself.
Have you heard of the dark triad?
Yeah, and this is the bit where I sometimes get into trouble and when people kind of have a real go at me. Narcissism is in the same bracket for psychologists as psychopaths, okay? Hmm. And serial killers come into the bracket of narcissistic psychopaths, okay? And they're in the same field. They believe there's nothing wrong with them, although deep down they know what's wrong. They live in a world whereby everybody and everything is to serve them. They have no empathy for the people that they're hurting, okay? Please, please, please hear what I'm saying. I'm in no way saying that. Actually, I have been quoted as saying that, you know, I think narcissists are on the same level as serial killers. Not in the fact that they literally kill people, but they damage people, and sometimes damage people for them to take their own lives, damage people all the way through their lives, because exactly the same as the pure psychopath, they use other people for their own benefit. They use other people to mask who they are. And the Machiavellian bit is just simply that they are, they're the show-offs, they're the playmakers, they're the charisma people, or they're the butter wouldn't melt in your mouth people. They haven't got a t-shirt that says narcissist. They don't initially meet you and go, right, you, come here, I'm going to use you for my food supply. Don't think you've got a problem, an issue with this. I don't really like you anyway, but I'm going to pretend I do, but I have no empathy. Any chance of getting married? You're going to say no, aren't you? That's where they're so gifted at what they do.
John, we were talking earlier about triangulation. Did you get into that?
Yeah. So the narcissist is brilliant at triangulating. Triangulation is the classic woman who's got a lover and a husband. So the woman will say to the husband, oh, the lover's being horrible to me. The woman will say to the lover, oh, the husband's being horrible to me. If she's caught, she'll say to the husband, oh, it was all his fault. He did this. He did that. I'm so sorry. I'm really not. And that won't mean any of it. And all the time she's with the lover, he's great, he's fantastic, but telling the lover that the husband's awful. And they do the same when they kind of go to court, they switch. Suddenly, the lover or the person they think is going to be the future, he comes to the other side of the triangulation, and the police and the court become the friend. Huh. So they're the friend, and the husband or the man or the lover becomes that. The only person who never changes in this triangulation is the victim narcissist. The narcissist is always the victim, always the bottom, always the star. And they will triangulate everybody else around them to show that they're the victim.
The center of the triangle.
The amount of times when we get into narcissistic relationships, a sign is how they will always be the victim of their previous relationships.
Interesting.
It will never be their fault. They would have been abused. Yeah, they would have been cheated on. They would have been lied to. All the things that they're probably more likely to do than anybody else.
Where were you 20 years ago? Is there any way you could question or test to see if someone's a narcissist after you get through the love bombing, the honeymoon phase? We could even take it out of relationships. It could be a work narcissist. Is there a way to test if someone's a narcissist?
There is, but there are certain types of people who are vulnerable to narcissists.
Ooh.
And those types of people are the people who don't quite have enough self-validation. So they're looking for validation from other people to make their life good. People pleaser, for example. So a narcissist will spot a people pleaser a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
They will crawl into that people pleaser. They'll make all the nice things because the people pleaser has found a narcissist. Fantastic. What a perfect relationship. An abuser who wants to crush people and a crushed person who wants validation from a narcissist.
Wow.
Vasula talks about the umbrella. And when you get into these sorts of relationships, this is the way to spot it. You have a couple of bad days with this narcissist, the storm's there, and then the clouds disappear. And so you throw away your umbrella thinking, oh, there's nothing wrong with this person. They're great. They're lovely. Even though you know that 3 or 4 days later, they're going to be an absolute arsehole of a boss again. And then you look for your umbrella and you think, oh, bugger, I've thrown the umbrella away. And so you go and buy another umbrella and you enjoy the 2 or 3 days of greatness. And you go through umbrellas like nobody's business. And actually, it's time to buy an umbrella and hold it there and say to the narcissist, listen, if you just remember 2 weeks ago, you were like this and then you did this. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, you were really loving and then you called me this, 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 and this. And once you do that, beware of what you're about to do. A narcissist scorned is a tricky, tricky job. Make sure you look that you've got another job coming up.
Yeah.
Make sure you're in a financial position to leave the household. But once you stand up to the narcissist, that's when they project. You then become the problem. You're the problem member of staff. Hang on a minute. I'm the boss. You did this, 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 and this. You're the problem in the relationship. I'm going to go to the police and I'm going to tell them that you hit me, that you abused me, that you financially controlled me, that you were abusive to the children. They will lie through their back teeth in order to keep themselves the victim and the innocent one. And you will have all this thrown at you. And in a workplace, especially if you're subservient within the workplace, i.e. they're the boss, once you've run out of being their food supply, they will drop you from the greatest height ever and they will get somebody else to replace you or go through exactly the same process.
Yikes.
They're always indifferent. They're always indifferent. They're never consistent. So it's kind of making sure you hold on to that permanent umbrella in the early days. And then you decide whether, is this just someone who's got a few mood swings and we can joke about it and they can self-reflect and begin to change? Or is this someone who's going to use and abuse you? And if they are, you need to get out of there quickly. You need to get out of there quickly. Or if you stay in it, like say relationships because of the children or a career move because you need another year before you get your certificate, you play the game.
Right.
You don't let it emotionally impact you. You don't get hurt by it. You continue to play their game until it's your time to move and move out and you cut all ties.
And that's interesting you say play the game, because in some relationships, in some cultures, people can't get divorced. They can't leave an abusive spouse. So you almost have to play that game to survive, to get your kids to the next level.
Exactly that. With people, and they said, how do I survive a narcissistic relationship until the children are 18? A lot of it initially is grief and mourning, because you're grief and mourning the person that you love. They never existed. You just created this person that you love.
Right.
So you have to go through grief and mourning in a relationship, even if you're staying in it, because you've realized that this person that you loved, you made them to be different than they actually were. You went with all the love bombing and you have the odd 2 or 3 days and you've kind of normalized that behavior. So it's okay to have 5 bad days and 2 good days. You've normalized that as being okay. It's okay to lose your identity and not argue. When you realize you're going to move away, you still have to feed them, but you feed them on your terms. They don't know that you now know. You feed them on your terms and then you treat yourself. There's a wonderful story. I don't know where I read it from. Story of a woman who was in a narcissistic relationship and she loved taking biscuits and a cup of tea to bed at night.
Okay.
And she'd make crumbs in the bed. And the husband would go ballistic to the point where he refused her to take a cup of tea and biscuits to bed at night. When she split up, every single night she takes a cup of tea and biscuits to bed. Even if she doesn't want a cup of tea and biscuits, she'll sprinkle biscuits in her bed because she bloody well can. And even she says she wakes up the next morning and, oh, Dow, there's biscuits and there's crumbs in the bed. But she can do it now. And even if you're in a relationship, just do little things that will please you, little rewards for yourself, little things that will keep you sane. Have somebody else that you talk to. A narcissist will tell you it's your fault. It's not your fault. It's never your fault. It's not your fault. It's never your fault. But for the sake of your children, and actually within that relationship, it's pretty important that you're there for your children.
Absolutely.
Because all they've got is a narcissist bringing them up who sees children as an extension of herself. They'll have a great time with the children if the children make her feel good. If she has to do something for the children that doesn't make her feel good, that's when the issues arise.
Mm. John, is it safe to say the number one defense against a narcissist is self-awareness?
Being aware of yourself and changing as an individual is something that you have to do. Remember, you got involved with this person. You didn't do anything wrong, but you were susceptible. You were vulnerable. You didn't have enough self-validation. You were susceptible to people because you needed validation from others. It is essential when you come out of a narcissistic relationship, or if you have to survive a narcissistic relationship, that you work on yourself so that you build up your own self-validation. You build up your own worth so that you are not susceptible to what these people could do. You understand what love bombing is. You understand that actually I need to be an individual here. I'm not going to lose my identity. I'm not just going to do everything they say. When a narcissist comes home from work and the other person is in, what you find that other person doing is doing all just logarithms to work out who's coming through the door. Who's coming through the door? I'm going to make sure I behave in a certain way so that when that person comes through the door, and it might be way A, B, C, D, E, F, you're not sure until you see them, till they drop the bag, till they bang the door, till they come in with smiles, you're not sure what to do. So you manipulate yourself to ensure the least bit of conflict. So you have become the person that behaves in a certain way depending on how the other person is. That's not right.
No.
So you have to work out why it is you did that. Why it is you allowed yourself to become that very person and start to believe that you're the person that is you. And how the other person comes in the door is irrelevant to who you are. Yes, you can talk. Yes, you can play. Yes, you can help each other out a little bit. But you don't suddenly change who the very person you are because of another person. You know, you cooperate together, don't you, and work together at that. And you have to do that on your own. So that next time you meet someone like this, early doors, you'll be able to say, "Oh, hang on a minute. No, I do go for a walk on Friday afternoons. I do go and watch the soccer or the football on a Saturday. This is who I am. It's okay to do that. I do sometimes go to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm exhausted. It's okay to do that. I don't need you to tell me that I'm selfish. I don't need you to tell me that I'm pathetic and weak. I can do these things." And that takes a lot of work. And sometimes it's very painful.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of grief, a lot of anger, a lot of self-doubt, and building yourself up again. Do not underestimate the damage that narcissists do to other human beings. They destroy them. And to build yourself up from that takes a good therapist and an awful lot of work. So, and then you become this great person that you were meant to be.
Especially if you're in it, if you're trapped in a relationship where you won't leave. I didn't grow up in a family of divorce. I wasn't, you know, I come from an Irish Catholic background where you never get divorced. You just live miserably till you die. Mm-hmm. So had she not left me, I probably wouldn't have left her and I would have just sucked it up like a lot of people do. They just suck it up. I personally would be pissed off if there were cookie crumbs in my bed every night. However, if you're in a religion, if you're in a culture where you can't leave that narcissist, how can you confuse them? What are some little things you can do without getting yourself in deeper shit?
I go back to the self-awareness. You know there's no point putting the crumbs in the bed because you know what you're going to get. You know what the consequences of those actions are. So in your mind, find another leaving crumbs. Find something else where you are free to be yourself, where you can own who you are. Treat yourself. Redevelop yourself where a narcissist can't see. They can't see. You've got to. There's a whole chapter in Werner Werner's book, actually, is how to stay in a relationship with a narcissist, but still develop yourself. You've got to find ways, the equivalent of biscuits in the bed, you've got to find other ways that make you smile, that make you think, I am of worth, I am of value, and even make you think, haha, you don't know about this, I'm doing this, you think I'm still being this, you know, this food supply, and actually I'm doing this, this, and this. You know, you're at work a lot of the time, you're out of the house a lot of the time. There's nothing wrong with building up other friendships and relationships, surrounding yourself with good and decent people to armor you and embody you to be able to go back to this narcissistic relationship for the sake of the children or for the sake of the religion, etc. And it saddens me hugely, Chuck, it really does, that so many men and women, but I deal with men, so many men are petrified of leaving that because of what other people will think, what society will think, what religion will think, what their parents might say, what it might do to the children. And they fall into that people-pleasing thing again. They'll sacrifice their own lives in order to protect everyone around them because they're petrified of what people will think if they actually stand up to this. And the narcissist does that. The narcissist and it puts you in that situation. It takes a lot of strength to move away, Chuck, a lot of strength.
Yeah, no, I'm actually glad that she had the strength to move away because my life is beautiful now. My life is beautiful now.
What we deal with, Chuck, as you know, is people who've had false allegations made against them. So the person who's gone to the court and said, you know, he's hit me, he's done this, he's done this, he's done this. And it can take 10 months, 18 months, 2 years. And in that time, you've lost the relationship with the children.
Yeah.
And you've done nothing wrong. And the whole of society is looking at you, oh, there's no smoke without fire. She's giving a fantastic Oscar-warming performance as a victim, bringing everyone around her. And it's only eventually, if you're fortunate, eventually, when it does come to a court system that goes, hang on a minute, this isn't right. Now, in that 18 months or 2 years, you've had to live with family, friends, neighbors, police, courts, telling you
co-workers
that you're a horrifically horrible co-workers. You're a horrible, horrible person. How could you do this to her? Oh, I always sense there was something wrong with you. Yeah, I know what you're like. I know your type. And you're there going, I've done nothing wrong. So if you can't find people to surround yourself with, like the support groups that we have, finding a good therapist, ensuring you got some good teammates somewhere, you have to surround yourself with these people to stay focused. whatever is going on around you, it's not going to impact me. You've spent all these years living your life being impacted by the narcissist. Now she's thrown the book at you. She doesn't want you to be a food supply, but she's the victim. You're going to be the perpetrator. So strengthen who you are so that you're no longer impacted by those around you. And as someone who's a people pleaser, that's the hardest thing you're ever going to have to do. But if you don't do it, you will continue to respond to her court actions. You'll continue to respond to what the police say. You'll probably get yourself arrested. You might even get yourself chucked into jail because you're responding to what's around you. You have to find the decent people you've got, hold on for dear life and take that journey. One by one, people will realize. And as you and I know it's difficult to say to someone who's got a 3- and a 4-year-old and they've not seen for a year.
Yeah.
The children will work it out. Your children are older. My children are older. They will work it out if you continue to be the decent man that you are and become even more of a decent man. The question is, let's say you don't see your children for 5 years. What sort of man are you going to be in 5 years? Well, you're not going to be the victim of a narcissist. That's for sure.
Okay.
You're going to have learned that. You're going to have found self-validation. You're going to find yourself mixing with decent people. When that child comes and finds you or you find them, you are going to be the best human being you could possibly be.
And I recommend leaving those breadcrumbs out so your children can find them. John and I both know, we both thought we were never going to see our kids ever again. And we both have relationships with them. So he's not lying.
No, 29, 26, 22 and 17, at one point in all of their four lives, they have said to me, either on the phone or face to face, you're not my dad anymore.
We can laugh now, but yeah, we've cried before.
And yet now when they're in problem, I'm the first one they call. So, you just have to stay strong, as difficult as it is.
And John and I went through this when, now, I don't know, did you have any support groups? You know me, I was, crawled into a bottle in a Brooklyn basement. That was my support group.
Nothing. Yep, I crawled into a bottle and a few other things. That was my support group for a year. I had a breakdown practice. Yeah, I completely didn't have a clue what to do. When I got into another relationship who was an absolute narcissist, it's when they actually called the police round and wanted to take me to court that I thought, and I found a group. I found a group, luckily.
Yeah.
God willing. And that's why we do the work we do, Chuck, isn't it? We have group chats. I have a group therapy session. I see some of these guys with therapy. Some of them can afford to pay me the couple of bucks I charge. Some of them can't. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. I just want to make sure that these guys aren't one of the 8.9 people who kill themselves in the United Kingdom, because I nearly did. And if I'd not found help and a therapist and groups like this, I probably would have been. And so if I can give something back because of my experiences, because of what I've been through now, because of my knowledge and expertise, then we're win-win.
Hey, John, I know you have a confidentiality and you and I both agree, because this is why we do what we do. We're never going to make somebody's life more difficult than it has to be. No one's coming on this show and getting destroyed. No one's coming to you and, being twisted. Are there any stories you can tell just maybe to let someone know they're not alone? Maybe something that someone out there will be like, holy shit. That's exactly what I'm going through.
This is a general one, and then there's a couple of kind of funny ones. When the narcissist goes to the court or goes to the police and you find yourself on a restraining order and you can't see your children and you can't see your wife and you can't do anything, can I just give you one piece of advice? Do not ever break that non-molestation or court. Just don't do it.
Agreed.
What they'll try and do, they might even say, look, why don't you come around to the house for lunch and we'll see if we can sort this out. No. No. If it says you can't contact your children and it's their birthday, do not send them a card. No. And I know it's so difficult, but all the police are waiting for, especially when they know they've got no evidence whatsoever, because this woman's mental. I don't mean mental, but she's clearly making these stories up. What they're waiting for you is to break that court order. Because once you've broken that court order, you can go to prison for up to 6 years. Even if, which is in my case, even if the police had proved that she was lying, I still went to Crown Court for allegedly breaking the court order. So everyone knew that the judge shouldn't have given the court order in the first place because she was talking absolute rubbish and the priests had proven this. But I still went to Crown Court because I'd broken the court order. So do not break court orders. And I'll give you a really, really good story. A guy I've been working with for nearly a year, just one day, his wife got up with the kids and vanished. And she said, she went to a refuge and she said, he abuses me, he abuses the children and I feel unsafe. No evidence, absolutely nothing. When it came to actually producing evidence in the court, she couldn't. So she made up stories. She made up stories that he was financially controlling. So he had to go through all of his bank accounts and prove that he wasn't. She made up stories that he was physically hurt her. He had to go through all of the evidence of voice messages, of text messages, hours and hours of this stuff to prove. The final one that she had, by this time, the judge had lost the will to live. The male had gone into the shower and left some male feces in the shower and ordered her to tidy it up. At this point, the judge simply said, whatever the woman's name is, this is coming from a broken mind.
Really?
None of this is true. You are living in a world that is different to ours. And I want to tell you something. They live in a world that's different to ours. Don't join them in their world.
Oh, I like that.
Don't respond to their world. Stay in your world, because their world is insane. Don't in a nasty way, but that's the actual terminology for someone who lives in a narcissistic environment. It's insane. Don't go and join them. Don't go and join them. And I trust our court system eventually enough that a judge will go, I'm sorry, there are no facts, there are no evidence. You're keeping this going for as long as you possibly can. Stay there, man. Just stay there. Because eventually, if you've got the truth and you know you've got the truth will win.
And it's a painful journey. You're right. You're not going to see your kids, but you got to believe that as long as you keep, like I said, dropping the breadcrumbs, showing up when you're supposed to be there to pick them up, going to the schools, staying involved, letting them see you stand outside of schools, they'll come around to know that, hey, dad wasn't not trying to be in my life.
Absolutely. And they, because I had a client say to me just last night, their oldest son is beginning to see the mother for what she is. My 17-year-old son said to me, just out of the blue, we were out one day. He went, Dad, I said, what? He said, Mum's not a very nice person, is she? The narcissists don't change. So if you've been a food supplier, that's all the children will be. They'll be a food supplier.
Yeah.
And if the children start standing up to this narcissist, then the children will become the problem because there's nothing wrong with her. They'll work it out. They'll work it out.
I went through the motions in the very beginning because right when I started, and I'll check the dates because I'm everything blurs in the beginning, but there was a woman in Texas who drowned her 3 children. If you got to stick with it because you're afraid your spouse is going to kill your children, you do.
I'll give you an answer to a question around about staying with people who are narcissists, especially if you think the narcissist might do something horrific. Some of the examples you were talking about earlier, it's staying with that narcissist alongside building a case and building some security with police, with lawyers, with judges, so that when you do leave the narcissist, when you do challenge the narcissist, you know that your children are safe.
Okay.
A lot of these guys put in orders so that the people can't leave the country with the children, or they have the woman arrested straight away. Even if the children are put into care for 6 months, well, it's sorted. Well, they won't be. But even if that's the case, it's better. So when you do act against the narcissist mother, make sure that you do it at a time when you can guarantee the children's safety. And you might have to play the game a little bit until you can guarantee the children's safety.
Again, where the hell were you 20 years ago? With mine, my ex had taken the children to Canada to go visit her mother, never returned. 8 months later, she had realized she forgot something, had to come back to the country. And I was like, this is where I'm going to get her. And I had her served, like you said, not to leave the country, not to leave the jurisdiction. You know, we're states, not country. So where you guys can travel a lot and you have that 28-day rule where a parent could take a kid anywhere for 28 days, you can't leave America without a signed note from both parents if both parents aren't traveling.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good. I immediately did that when she came across the border with the children. She immediately went to a domestic violence shelter to prove that I'm an asshole. You're right. You have to have a game plan. You can't just go after a narcissist. You really have to know what you're getting into beforehand.
Let me go back to that narcissists, and this isn't me, this is from a psychologist's point of view, they are in the same bracket as serial killers. They're in the same box. Okay, they're in the same box. Their inability to have any empathy and their inability to see other people as individuals other than to suit them.
You know, that's true. Serial killers have no empathy to the people they're destroying. And yeah, narcissists can easily destroy your world. My father always said it takes two to tango. And I wish he was very much, you'll figure this out. Like, he would not give you the answer. He wanted you to figure out the answer. It obviously made me stronger in some respects, but I really wish he would have broken it down the way you did. Don't engage and she can't destroy you. If you keep letting her destroy you, it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
You will keep getting destroyed.
And if you are getting destroyed, look at yourself and answer why. Yes, it's because they're a narcissist, but they're not gods. They play on the fact that you're frightened of losing them. They prey on the fact that you're frightened of the confrontation. If you find the right safe space to be able to do that, walk away. It'll be very difficult. It'll be very hard. There'll be a lot of pain, a lot of grief, a lot of guilt. But then start rebuilding yourself as somebody who isn't vulnerable to narcissists, someone who is secure and honest with themselves and brave and can carry on with an individual life rather than simply become a food supplier to a monster.
That's awesome, John. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank John Chitty, Chitty Chats. John, where can people find you? You want them to contact the show?
Yeah, if they contact you, and then little teeny answer. I've learned in this not to push myself. People tend to find me. I just need to be careful that I'm humble about all this. I've been through this myself, and I thank God that I've been saved and I've met people who've saved me. Contact the show. I can give you my details without any problem whatsoever. I normally stay off, you know, the TikTok and the X's of this world, because I work with clients and clients come to the group and they find me, and that's how I do it, if that makes sense.
That's perfect. And just so people know, saved over here means religious. So you mean saved saved as in you didn't kill yourself.
Absolutely. Though I've had a bit of the other one as well.
Listen, no, there are no atheists in foxholes. Find God quick. John, I really want to thank you for everything, and I appreciate you helping everyone out on the show.
Bless you, Chuck. It's always good.
Bless you too, brother. All right. It's a lot to unpack. Chitty Chats, one of many ways you can get out there and meet like-minded people going through the same situation as yourself and talking things out. If you're in a relationship where you have children, that's the most important thing in your life. You're also the most important thing in your life. You have to take care of yourself, and the better you are, the better your children will be. We've talked about this on almost every show. The road to staying in your children's lives is very long and can be very painful. Do what you can to make yourself the best version of you, and letting them know when they're ready, you're there for them. It takes two to tango. Dad, I get it. I wish I didn't engage, but I did. And sometimes when someone's dangling that carrot in front of you, you take the bait. You got to think before you act, ladies and gentlemen, because words can and will be used against you. Can you confuse a narcissist? Can you test a narcissist? Sure, but you better have an exit strategy, and you better have it in place, because once the narcissists realize they can't control you anymore, they're going to devour your soul. All right, Joe, take us on home.
We must get our voices out there. Send us your stories to whydaddynevercries@gmail.com or whydaddynevercries on Facebook. Remember, this is a daily and sometimes hourly struggle, so follow us on Daddy Never Cries at Twitter and whydaddynevercries on Instagram, and let your voice be heard. Let's end the fatherless children syndrome that's plaguing this world.
The team of Why Daddy Never Cries consists of Joe, the voice of reason, Nicole Kelleher, and Scott Hall. Thanks, everybody.
You can't change what happened to you, brothers. What you can control, however, is how you react to every situation. So you got to figure out how to make it work for you. And when life gave me lemons, I said to hell with the glass. I'm making an international lemonade franchise. So until next time, you've got this, Daddy. Don't know me.